It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. One in five North Texas children lives in poverty. That's according to a report out today called Beyond ABC from Children's Health. It examines the well-being of children in six North Texas counties. The report finds that in five of those counties, the rate of uninsured children is twice the national average, and unhealthy kids don't do as well in school as healthy ones. Stormy Williams oversees Children's Health Telemedicine. The program lets doctors check the ears and throats of sick kids long distance. Williams believes it makes a difference.
What technology can do is reach children and reach others where they are. And when I started this in this field in about 2013, I said, telemedicine? Wow, that sounds like the Jetsons, right? Isn't that what Elroy, when he got sick, the doctor showed up on the screen? But that's exactly kind of where we are today. And we have to, what seemed so futuristic before, is today.
The Beyond ABC report examined Dallas, Collin, and Denton counties, as well as Cook, Fannin, and Grayson counties. Six women have now come forward accusing former President George H.W. Bush of groping them. The newest allegation comes from Rosalind Corrigan, who says Bush grabbed her buttocks as she posed for a photo with him in 2003 when she was 16. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with presidential historian Jeffrey Engel, author of a new book on Bush, about these accusations.
What I think is important to me as a historian, having spent the last 10 years of my life studying this man and importantly going through all of his records, in particular his diplomatic records, there's really nothing in that record that suggests this type of behavior. So this is completely out of character. Sometimes I think we have to think about accusations and say to ourselves, is this within the character of the person? And especially when we have somebody who's elderly. And perhaps changing in the way that elderly people can. So I've seen no evidence over the course of my research that really suggests that this is a pattern.
So it's a new thing for him, you think?
I've seen nothing to suggest otherwise, to be honest. I mean, but I've also never really looked because this has never been an issue in his life. I mean, this is an issue in different politicians' lives. Politicians have different black clouds that follow them, in a sense. Bush's, throughout most of his career, was that he was a political weather vane, that he didn't have his own principles, that he was more of a party man and a corporate man than his own individual. The idea of sexual misconduct was not something that really ever arose in his career.
Bush spokesman Jim McGrath said in a statement Monday that Bush regrets any offensive actions. Jeffrey Engel is the author of When the World Seemed New, George H.W. Bush and the End of the Cold War. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. And now to KERA's One Crisis Away project, which explores life on the financial edge. Several cities in Texas and across the country have laws in place that penalize sleeping, loitering, and begging in public. Cities and police say these laws are necessary for public health and safety. Others say they unfairly target the homeless. For them, sleeping and sitting on the streets is a part of life. Experts say these laws actually keep the homeless on the streets.
Once a year, the Dallas Association of Young Lawyers and the Stewpot Downtown host community court. It's an opportunity for homeless people to trade in tickets for community service. Tickets for riding DART trains and buses without paying, for jaywalking, loitering, relatively minor offenses. It's 8 on a chilly Saturday morning, and dozens are already lined up outside.
All right, hey, y'all be patient with us, and thanks for being here. And we're going to get you lined up. It's going to be a really good day for everybody, all right?
Steve Sider is a justice of the peace in Dallas County and has volunteered for the past 17 years to help homeless people wipe their slates clean.
It became obvious that there was an impediment to folks getting their IDs or driver's license with holds because of open tickets. They couldn't get services or access to jobs. So it's really started to, as the first step in hopefully a journey where folks are going to be able to clean up their record and move on down the road.
Moving forward is exactly what 52-year-old Michael Walton wants to do.
I'll be riding the train most of the time. That'll keep me, like, warm.
He says he's got a few tickets for fare evasion on DART, and they weigh on him constantly.
When you're homeless, you worry about a whole lot. Sleep, where you're going to eat the next day, you know, how you're going to get here, how you're going to get there. If you get the tickets taken care of, that's a good thing. Police stop you and say, oh, yeah, I'm clear. Make you feel good. If you got a ticket, you're like, don't take me to jail. I got a ticket.
So in return for your plea, you'll do some community service here this morning. They'll get it all taken care of for you, okay?
But even after today, Walton and the others at this court run the risk of racking up more tickets. They'll hop on a train to see a doctor or get to a job, and they'll get issued a citation for fare evasion. Try to get that ticket sorted out and get another ticket on the way, and that cycle continues. So community courts like the one at the Stew Pot have been helpful. But there are several other laws on the books that the homeless can front every day.
Laws that make it a crime to sleep in public places, to sit down, to lie down in public places.
Maria Foscarinas is the executive director of the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty.
To loiter, to beg or panhandle, to essentially be in public.
The group has been tracking these types of ordinances for the past 10 years across nearly 200 cities. And Foscarinas says there's been an increase. Laws that penalize sleeping in cars have gone up 140%, bans on sitting or lying down in public have increased by 52%, and bans on loitering up 88%. All of this amounts to what homeless advocates call the criminalization of homelessness.
When we use that term, we refer to efforts to make it a crime to do things that are otherwise innocent, necessary human behaviors that people who are homeless have no choice but to do in public places.
In Dallas, the police can stop you if you're loitering or panhandling in certain public places at certain times, and it's considered a crime to sleep or doze anywhere in public. But there aren't enough emergency shelter beds across the city, and many homeless people feel they have no choice but to sleep or be outside. According to municipal court data, Dallas police issued more than 11,000 sleeping in public citations from 2012 to 2015. 2,000 citations for panhandling in 2015 alone. These are $150 to $300 tickets that often go unpaid and could lead to jail time. Foscarinas calls it a vicious cycle.
They exacerbate the pain and misery of living on the street, of being homeless, but they also make it harder to exit homelessness because they saddle people with a criminal record. And then that makes it hard to get a job or housing or even public benefits.
These are tickets that even police will admit don't make sense financially.
Homelessness is not against the law. I mean, we cannot arrest our way out of this problem. It has to be done another way.
Dave Hogan heads the Crisis Intervention Unit with the Dallas Police Department. He says all those tickets over the past few years has cost the city a lot in time, resources, and manpower. He's a social worker and knows that policing the homeless from a place of empathy is often more effective. That means instead of whipping out the ticket book, encouraging and helping a homeless person get into a shelter or find needed services has become the overriding policy at Dallas Police.
We really look at what is it going to take when you're standing in front of somebody who is homeless and they're telling you the problem they have. What is it going to take to get that person out of homelessness?
For some, it's better access to mental health resources. Maria Foscarina says for most, it's a home.
We can all agree that having people living in public places is not a good thing. Where we disagree with cities is what do you do about it? We feel that solving the problem through permanent affordable housing is the way to go.
And that seems to be the position Dallas has taken in the past year since it shut down Tent City, the 300-person homeless camp under Interstate 45. This month, Dallas voters passed a $20 million bond that'll go toward permanent and transitional housing for the homeless. That means good things for people like Michael Walton, who's slept on trains or in private hideouts on the street for the past 5 years. He has some leads on an apartment.
No, I don't like nobody around me, no stealing from me, messing with me. It's going to be a quiet person, just be in a quiet spot. So if I can get my own spot and my own place, it made me feel much, much better.
That's a chance for Walton to break the cycle in which he's getting the same tickets and coming back to the same community court every year because he has nowhere else to go. In the forecast, mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, scattered showers with highs in the lower 70s. It's 75 degrees in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.